Nick of the Tuffle Part 2.
Are you sure you never got involved in any politics? The London also. And one of the Gustman was once insulted by a student. There was a student that said to him that said something that was clearly insulting. At the time, sometimes Talmidim make a mistake. They don't realize that Shas Mais, so they don't realize that they're doing the Rebbe's feelings. So afterwards, he came over to Rav Gustman and he asked Rav Gustman for mechila. Rav Gustman said to the Talmid, he said, after what I experienced in the Holocaust and prior to it, no one could be mevazim me and no one could be mechabed me anymore. And he said, I'll tell you what it means, that no one could be mechabed me and no one could be mevazim me. And this is the message I want to share with the Talmidim on Yom HaShoah. By the way, for me, Yom HaShoah is not a special day, because every day is Yom HaShoah. Anybody who has a sensitivity of where their family comes from, or has a sensitivity to the history of Torah, then we live the Shoah every single day. I'm not so happy also about the day of the calendar was chosen, because even though my son was named after Rav Nachman Zemel, Zechutani Kadosh Avrocha, was killed by the Nazis, it seems to be clear that he supported the ghetto uprising. But that's not the story of the Holocaust. The story of the Holocaust is not the ghetto uprising. That was unfortunately something that, at a particular time, where the Zionists were feeling, the Zionists did amazing things here in Eretz Yisrael. But when Zionists were feeling insecure about the state of a Jew, so they decided to emphasize that the story of the Holocaust should be the fact that the Jews said, it's not true that the Jews went like sheep to the slaughter. And Nachum Zemba, it seems clear, supported the ghetto uprising. And Nachum Zemba is a separate story, maybe we'll talk about another time. So every day, for a sensitive Ben Torah, every day is Yom HaShoah. Shouldn't be a day goes by. If a day goes by, or a week goes by, and you haven't thought about the Holocaust, then there's a certain sensitivity that's missing. Some sensitivity that's lost. But Afal Pi Kein, if this is when the country decides to designate the time, so there's no reason for us not to. We have to be Kenegan, we have to be Misnagdim. So why do we have to be Misnagdim? Why, what's the Kiyum in being a Misnagdim? Yeah, they say one time, I was telling this to my guests on Pesach, that the Hasidim started saying Halal on the night of Pesach. According to the Sfaradim, right? You like to say Halal on the night of Pesach. And here in Eretz Yisrael, many, many do. But the Rama says, "V'yeshamrim de'inanu no'agim kein." So the old Ashkenazi communities, except for the Gra, they all did not say. The Gra held that you should stay, and the testimony of the Gra's effect on Eretz Yisrael was that now in Eretz Yisrael, almost everybody says. The Hasidim, quote unquote, always said. Hasidim are new people. It's only 300 years old. But the Talmidim of the Gra. Talmidim of the Gra said, and hence in Eretz Yisrael, Kemat today, everybody says the testimony of the Hashba of the Gra on Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Anyhow, legend has it that one of the Misnagdic strongholds, the Hasidim emphasize certain things that just emphasizing Amelus Beteira doesn't get emphasized, and people gravitate towards it. We have to take into account the realities that not everybody's Iyun in Gemara, Rashi, Tosis, and Rambam is going to speak to them. So it took Hasidus spread like wildfire throughout Europe. The Sfaradim didn't spread the wildfire because the Sfaradim always had that in their Avodas Hashem. Hence the strong connection between the Orach Chaim and the Baal Shem Tov. It always existed in the Sfaradic countries. So the legend has it that one time, in one of these Misnagdic strongholds, they broke in to a secret Hasidish minion. They were making a secret minion on the night of Pesach, and they were saying Hallel. They were singing Hallel, and they came into the. They broke the Misnagdic leader, and maybe he might have been a Rav, a Talmud Chacham, came into the place where they were davening Hallel on the night of Pesach, in a place where it was not accepted to do it, and he had in his hand the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch had in his hand. He opened up to Nilchas Pesach, where it says in the Ramah writes, "V'yeshom v'anu einoigin kein." That's the lashon of the Ramah. V'anu einoigin kein. And our custom is not to do this. So he banged on the bima and he said, "Shteitin Ramah v'anu einoigin kein. V'anu einoigin kein." So the leader of the Hasidim went over to him and he said to him, "How do you know that when the Ramah wrote it, he was banging on the table and saying, 'V'anu einoigin kein'? Maybe the Ramah, when he wrote it, said, 'V'anu einoigin kein'." So, you know, even the 'V'anu einoigin kein', in other words, it's true that for us, the Yom HaShoah is not, it's the tragedy of the destruction of Torah. And it's not the Warsaw Uprising, but you have to scream, 'V'anu einoigin kein'? Well, there's a value also in using this opportunity to reflect. Rav Gusman said that, I'll tell you what it means, you can't be mechabed me, you can't be mevazim me anymore. And in many ways, I think what Rav Gusman said over has two parts of what I want the Talmidim to get from one a way as a snapshot of B'nai Torah, how to look at the Churban of Europe. He said, when I was about 20 years old, he said, I had already succeeded in yeshiva so much that the Rabbanim in Vilna, he was in Vilna, the Rabbanim in Vilna were already talking about me, and to the point, it's been documented, Rav Gusman by the age of 20, 21, 22, was already had sat on a bezdin of Rav Chaim Moser, with Rav Chaim Moser Grushensky, who was one of the Gedolei Hador, he was the Posek Hador. And he said that when he was about 23 years old, at a meeting of Rabbanim, at this meeting of Rabbanim, Chavetz Chaim might have even been alive. Chavetz Chaim was there, the Ger Rebbe was there, Rabbi Nachum Zemba was there, the Bavavar Rebbe was there, and the Gaonim of Litta, Rav Meir Simcha of the Vince, the Ragechaver. When I walked in, he said, Rav Chaim Moser stood up. And he said, after Rav Chaim Moser was mechabed me, he says, no one could be mechabed me. So he says, I have no Indian of Rudifus HaKavn anymore. Therefore, he wasn't interested in going to big Rabbanim meetings anymore. He said, for the Yetzar for Kavod is entirely gone. So you can't be mechabed me anymore. Now, Rabosai, stop right there before Rav Gusman continues on. The Torah that was decimated, and how Klal Yisrael was entirely decimated, it's E.F. Sherlata'er. Just happens to be that just yesterday, Aryeh asked me what Svarim to get from Sefas Makos. So I told Aryeh that for Makos, I think it's Kedai to have a Kovetz. Rav Shmuel Rozovsky Shurim are fantastic, particularly the sugis that we're going to do. And I mentioned that, of course, on the sugis of Eidos, the Tzel Sachoshen is amazing. So Aryeh told me that this famous story was actually his grandfather was involved in. And this is what I want to emphasize in terms of what the Shoah was to us. And that is, I heard this, I think it's written up in Rabbi Krohn's book. I've heard the story a few times, and I didn't know we had the schus that the grandson of the person in the story is with us. The story goes that Rav Elia Meir Bluch and Aryeh's grandfather went to a Svarim store. Rebellion Mayor Bluff's family was entirely killed by the Nazis. He was one of the sole survivors in Tel. It's Kedai to read about how the Nazis obliterated Tel's in a day, in an absolutely barbaric fashion. Everybody was killed al Kiddush Hashem. I think Rav Gifter spoke about it a few times. Rav Gifter was a son-in-law of Rebellion. Who is the son-in-law of Rebellion Mayor, right? Is he? One, he's son-in-law by one of the blocks, yeah. So Rav Gifter speaks about it. It's Kedai to hear. Rav Gifter was a very, very eloquent speaker. It's Kedai to hear it. And they went to a store together to find. They were starting the yeshiva again in Cleveland with a couple of boys. Aryeh's grandfather was one of them. And they went to the store to buy the basic svar, to buy a Gemara, and he asked for a Ksos HaChoshen. Now the storekeeper, for them, even to sell a Gemara was almost unheard of. So he used to sell it the Siddur, Chumashim, Halesim, Tfilin, which probably today Ravina would point out many of them were Basel, Tfilin, and that was about it. That's what a Judaic store was in those days. That's what a Sfarim store was. So he said to him, I want a Gemara. So he pulled out a Gemara, whatever the Masechta that they were learning, they bought a Gemara. And then he said to him, do you happen to have Sefer Ktzos HaChoshen? The storekeeper started laughing. He said, no one has asked me for a Ktzos HaChoshen in 20 years. He had heard about himself from Europe. He says, no one has asked me about Sefer Ktzos HaChoshen in 20 years. It happens to be that I happen to think that I might have one in the storage room, that I might have. And he goes down and he looks and he looks and he looks and he brings up a dusty Ktzos HaChoshen. And he says to him, no one has asked me about this, about the Ktzos HaChoshen in 20 years. I haven't heard about it since my days when I was in yeshiva in Europe. And I know all the order forms from all the stores in the Midwest and New York. And no one is ordering Ktzos HaChoshen. And it's out of print. And he says to him, I'm telling you now that I'm selling the last Ktzos HaChoshen in the history of the United States of America. Now, Aryeh's uncle has that Ktzos HaChoshen in Matas. And you know how many Ktzos HaChoshens are now bought every year? But that was the matzav of Klal Yisrael. And that's what Rav Guzman was saying. The Torah is entirely, that I saw, the Kavod HaTorah that I saw in Europe was entirely gone. It was gone. And he says, today is nothing compared to what it was. And then Rav Guzman said, and no one could be mevazami. He said, I saw my own child being murdered by the Nazis, the only son that Rav Guzman had, in front of my eyes. And it's known that Rav Guzman then, in an act of desperation, he held his last belong that he held onto was his child's shoes. And for the last thing that he gave up from his possessions was he wanted just to hold on a little bit to his child, because he had to sell his child's shoes to be able to get a little bit of food. And he survived. He and his wife survived. Rabosai, when we sit in the beautiful Yerushalayim Ar HaKodesh to realize that the Mesiras Nefesh for Torah that happened at that time, and there's no greater, I was discussing with someone over Pesach, there's no greater testimony to the Nitzchius of Klal Yisrael, the fact that Rav Guzman's Torah is now learned with tremendous excitement, and as a broken man, somehow he was able to rebuild, and that the Ktzos HaChoshen is not a sefer that's extinct, and that this man, Be'ezer Hashem, we're going to be learning Ktzos HaChoshen. That's the greatest nekama that we could have. And this is the Nitzchius of Klal Yisrael, it's the eternity of Klal Yisrael. I would just say one more point. I didn't intend to speak about almost any of this, but I think whenever you look at Churban, there are two. I heard this from my Rebbe of Yisrael Rising. You can look at Churban in two different ways. You can look at Churban from the perspective of Godless Adam, and you can look at Churban from the perspective of Shiftless Adam. And Reb Lazer Silver visited a survivor after the war. And it's something, again, when you see people and you hear them talking about the Churban of Europe, remember this story, because it's a very important story. It deals with a lot of different anafim, which I'm not going to get involved with, because I want to do our nitzvias, I want to learn with you. Reb Lazer Silver said that he must go to Europe right after the war to visit the survivors. And at one of the camps, he met a survivor, and the survivor said to him, Rebbe, was ich hab gesehen, in the lager, and what I saw in the barracks, if kenish zayin afrumiyid, I can't be a frumiyid after what I saw in the barracks. And you'll have people that will ask you questions like this. There are many different types of questions. So Reb Lazer said to him, Reb Yid, what did you see? That you can't be a religious Jew again. He said, I come from a very religious home. He said, what I saw was that there was one Jew, I've said the story before, there's one Jew that had a siddur in the entire barrack. So 150 Jews, and there was one Jew who had a siddur in the barrack. And he held on to it with dear life, but not good dear life, bad dear life. He would not allow anybody use that tiny siddur that he had unless they gave them their day's rations. And he said, I saw with my own eyes this man take the life bread of another Jew so that the other one could use the siddur, to give him the siddur. And he wouldn't let anybody use the siddur. He said, how a person who was once religious could do such a thing, I can't be a religious Jew. Reb Lazer said back to him, he said to him, Reb Yid, I hear what you're saying. He said, they had Rishayim, they have many more Rishayim, but unfortunately we have Jewish Rishayim today, and it still exists. There are people just made in the United States, terrible Chilulei Hashem, with Shrimals and Payas, without Shrimals and Payas. It happens all the time. There are Jewish Rishayim as well. He said, but you focused on this one guy. He said, what about all those Jews who lined up? Their dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the stories of the Holocaust are replete with this. Their dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so much that they were willing to give their life's bread just so that they should say the tefillah right. You know what it's like, Rebbe Osei, you know, you think you got the basic tefillah right, you know, you're saying it by heart when you're walking to yeshiva and so on. But we give our life's bread to make sure that we said it, every word correctly. That was the caliber of B'nai Torah in that generation. And when we look at the Holocaust, there's going to be two parts. There's going to be the shiflus Adam, how humanity could fall to such a depraved state. And chas v'chalil, even Jews can. But at the same time, what Torah does, and how Torah could really, really elevate a person's neshama. This is the nitzvias. This is our nitzvias. Okay, yesterday we had left off with a very, very interesting machlokis between Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah. And I wanted to share with you, Warren, is it okay if I borrow your Torah Shulchan Aruch? Is that okay? I wanted to share with you the Taz's Havana, thank you very much. I want to share with you the Taz's Havana in the Machlokis, and some of the Talmidim were mechavei to the Taz, so I just want to crunch what we saw up until now from the perspective of the Taz. Can anybody tell me what's the Machlokis between Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah? Yes, Avi.
The difference between them was the case, because Rabbeinu Yonah had the fruit was already salted coming in, but the Tosfos had something else. He had that you had already eaten the fruit and you didn't know that it needed something salty with it, so then that's when you get that salty thing with the bread as the tefillah.
Beautiful. So the machlokes revolves around how we read the first line of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, Heviu lefanav meliach tchilo pasimo, so what exactly is that case of the Mishnah? So the maskana of the Gemara is Peres Kenosar. But what is Peres Kenosar? So according to Tosfos, what it means is you made a bracha on the fruit and you thought all you're going to do is have the fruit, and then afterwards you realize that the fruit is too sweet and then you have salt. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, it seems, as we're going to see that the Taz really fleshes out, the salt is put directly on the Peres Kenosar, and then you have the bread afterwards, Bishas. When I say afterwards, this is all in one sitting. You have the bread and the fruit together. And once you have the bread and fruit together, so then in such a case, we make a bracha only on the fruit. The nafkamina between those and Rabbeinu Yonah without svara, the nafkamina is going to be whether you have two brachas or one bracha. According to Tosos, the tafel over here is the bread to the salt. But of course you make a separate bracha on the salt. While according to Rabbeinu Yonah, there's only going to be one bracha. Now the Talmidim yesterday were fighting with how Rashi seems to fit in. So I happen to be of the opinion that you can't deduce anything but Rashi holds. I saw, and a raya to me, it's not a direct raya, is that Tzlach starts out saying like some of the Talmidim wanted to say, that Rashi is like Rabbeinu Yonah.
And then he says, Odev Shirla Hasbir, and you could also explain Rashi a different way, I'll come out like Tosas. So at the end of the day, I don't think there's any hechreach of which way Rashi is learning, whether Rashi is learning like Tosas or not. However, I do like Oren's diuk, where Oren makes a diuk that Hashuvim in Apasa, Rashi is understanding that the pre is more chashuv than the pas. And we're going to get back to that as far as whether the formulation is chashuv or not. Says the pas, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, I have an important ha'ara as far as pshat is concerned. My important ha'ara is the following. That is, that what does the word in our Mishnah meliach mean? The Taz points out beautifully that according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the way to read the Mishnah is Heviu lefana meliach. You could be bothered at the end of the day. What did the Gemara say? Peres Genosar. That we're going about Peres Genosar, right? So, what's the parallel to the Mishnah? Where does the Mishnah mention Peres Genosar? As I alluded to yesterday. Where does the Mishnah mention Peres Genosar? Says the Taz beautifully. The Mishnah says Peres Genosar because according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the Peres Genosar is Maluach. According to Tosfos, it's a little bit difficult because at the end of the day, Iker Chasim and Asefer. According to Tosfos, the Mishnah had a phantom ingredient that it didn't discuss at all. The Mishnah had the ingredient of what? The Mishnah had the ingredient of Genosar. And then you have salt and bread. And the Mishnah only talks about salt and bread. But what about the fact the Peres Genosar Shanu? But according to Rabbeinu Yonah points out the Taz, everything works out beautifully. The word Meliach is itself referring to the Peres Genosar. I'll just throw out something to you that Michal pointed out to me. Michal showed me that Rabbeinu Chananel seems to say that the Meliach is the Iker. That the Dover Meluach itself is the Iker. So that is very, very difficult because our Gemara said that the Peres Genosar is the Iker over here, not the Meluach. So how you read Rabbeinu Chananel, I give it to you as I put in the parentheses, Kedai to see Rabbeinu Chananel. However, I think Rabbeinu Chananel is not saying such a big tradition. I'll just give you a hint. As Michal pointed out, there's a Tosis Arash that seems to say something similar, and I think that Rabbeinu Chananel and Tosis are really going in the same direction. However, the elegance of Rabbeinu Chananel is that Rabbeinu Chananel is just explaining the Pashtus of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said Meliach. Okay? So, two points we made up until now. Number one is the Machlokus between Tosis and Rabbeinu Yonah was how to read and Pshat in the Gemara, but according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it'll actually fit beautifully in the word Meliach. And then I'm just giving you a Maramakum that Michal found that actually Rabbeinu Chananel, you might want to see, for those of you who really feel that you're holding well in the sugya, you might want to play Lulei Saras Chashashuai. This is something to play with, this Rabbeinu Chananel. And where Rabbeinu Chananel is coming from, where he says that the Meliach is the Iker, is the fact that the Mishnah refers to it as a Dover Meluach. So take a look at that Rabbeinu Chananel if you'd like. Yes, or welcome.
Like Maliach, it's very hard to say that it's fruits. The sweet fruits would be called Maliach.
Yes.
Therefore, like Rabbeinu Yonah, yes, it's mentioned in the Mishnah. However, it's very hard.
100%. 100%. But what I was happy about is this line in the Taz. For those of you, after he quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, he writes, I thought it was a very important point because I didn't internalize this point during the Taz. I think it's a very important point. Kavanoso dehach Meliach denaket b'Mishnah. Now, Rebel Kana is right that at the end of the day, it's still a little bit of a chidush, right? Because how are you calling the peros meliach? But the word meliach could mean pickled. That's how.
But pickled has the taste of salt and
right.
Brine, whatever. Here we're talking about something like
fruit.
Ain't a chanami.
I agree. Maybe that's what Tosfos can say
that. If you put the maluach on it, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, that's why it's called maliach. It doesn't matter if the fruit itself or not maliach.
But he's arguing that's still difficult. That's what he's bothered by. Okay, I hear what he's saying. What he's saying is like this, that at the end of the day, to call a fruit that's maluach, as a davar maluach, I understand if you call a pickle maluach, then I understand. But to call a fruit that has been pickled a little maluach, that is a big fiddush.
Say that's the way the only way you can eat is with salt, either with dar maluach or maluach itself. That's all everybody's saying.
You wouldn't call a sweet thing.
Okay, you.
Okay.
That's all they're all saying.
All right, now Rabbosai. I want to share with you some, or you photocopied, right, Ramosha Feinstein's tshuva? Before I share with you the next step, really the meat of today's Seder was analyzing the Rambam and the Tur. However, I want to share with you another step in the question that we had discussed yesterday. Yesterday we had mentioned that there is a shaila of the Trumas Hadeshin, that the Trumas Hadeshin takes sides on, and that is, if you have a Dover HaTofel, I'm not going to repeat why I brought up the Trumas Hadeshin anymore, that's from yesterday's lore, that's already from yesterday. But even if you weren't here yesterday, you could jump right in. The Trumas Hadeshin has the following shaila, and that is, what happens if you have a Dover HaTofel that you eat before the Ika? Do then we say that, as our Mishnah had told us, Iker v'tafel, you only make a brach on the Iker? Or do you say, no, since the tafel goes first, you're going to make a bracha on the tafel? What's the shaila that these mefarshim are being involved with? So I thought that we could be masbir the shaila like this, that this big discussion in the Rishonim will revolve around the following question. What's the pshat? And by the way, I was thrilled that Rav Nissen Kaplan Mamash starts off the whole sugya of Iker V'tafel with this chakira. But I was happy that I didn't start this chakira by knowing the chakira. I came to the chakira while we were struggling with an issue in the Rishonim. What's the fundamental issue in Iker V'tafel? What is the pshat that the tafel doesn't get a bracha? Is it the pshat that when you make a bracha on the Iker, then the bracha of the tafel is subsumed under the bracha of the ikar? In other words, we don't make a bracha shein etzricha, so you look at it as being part, the bracha of the tafel is secondary to the ikar, and therefore all you need is a bracha on the ikar. Or is the pshat, no, that the food item itself becomes batel to the ikar. The tafel becomes bottled to the ikar. It loses its significance. Now, if we're talking about a case of where you don't have in mind the tafel, so then it doesn't have the opportunity to be subsumed under it, like the case of Tosfos, Vamei Vinyanim. But in a case of where you know that you're going to eat both the tafel and the ikar, do you say that the tafel becomes bottled to the ikar? That was our chakira. Now, by the way, I didn't emphasize last time, I think Lechura, Rashi, as Oren pointed out, is taking sides in this chakira. Rashi says, chashuv in min hapas, that the peros ginosar is more chashuv than the pas. Rashi makes no mention of the bracha status. Lechura, what Rashi is saying, is that ikar v'tafel is halacha in the chayfetz, is halacha that the ikar is more chashuv than the tafel. Good, Eitan? So far, so good? Okay. So we use, Oren, we use your diuk in a particular direction. So we said yesterday that we don't think that there's any room for this shaila of making a separate bracha on the tafel over the ikar, that there would be no room to say that you would make a bracha on the tafel if it goes first, if the tafel is entirely subsumed as an identity, as a food to the ikar. If you say that the food, you know you're eating both the tafel and the ikar, and the ikar is mevatel the tafel, so then in such a case, lechura, one would have said, that of course you're not going to make a bracha, because it loses its identity. But the Trumas Hadeshin doesn't assume that way. And the Trumas Hadeshin says what? The Trumas Hadeshin says, no. In this case, you'll make a separate bracha on the tafel, because the tafel came first. Chura, the Trumas Hadeshin is assuming that how does Iker v'tafel work? That Iker v'tafel is the pshat, that if you made a bracha on the ikar, it automatically assumes the tafel. But what happens if you didn't make a bracha on the ikar and you're eating the tafel first? So then of course you would make a bracha first on the tafel and then the ikar. L'chura, the Trumas Hadesh himself, is involved with this question. Now, I thought also that another shaila might be dependent on this, and then I found a very exciting tshuva of halacha l'maisa that is not discussed in the earlier poskim from Ramesha, that also, where Ramesha directly addresses this issue. There is the first Beis Yosef in Reish Yud Beis. I didn't put this on the Maror Mekomos, but everybody should be able to follow. By the way, in general, when the poskim's issues are a lot easier than an issue in the Rishonim. This is going to be easier to follow than the diyukim we're going to make in the Rambam and the Torah. That's why I didn't even put this on the Maror Mekomos. Everybody should be able to follow this. If there's something that's not clear, then tell me it's not clear. What's the halacha about bracha achrona in regards to Iker V'Tafel? Do we say that just like the Mishnah taught us, that once you make a bracha, it patters the Tafel, the same thing applies to the bracha achrona, that of course you don't make a bracha achrona, or not? Now everybody has been raised, which way? Does bracha, does halacha Iker V'Tafel only by bracha Rishona or also bracha achrona? How have you been raised? Also, but you should know it was a suffix. Says the Beis Yosef, "Vitzarich iun." He quotes from a kolbo. Kasa a kolbo. Vitzarich iun. Bahadamin the mivarech alikur poter satafel mi bracha shalofneha. In poter gam came mi bracha shalachreha ad kan l'shona. And the Beis Yosef was the one who made it as a davar pashut for you. He says the davar pashut. Of course, the same is going to apply. This is not in Ramesha Feinstein. This is in the Beis Yosef in Siman Reishu Beis Sifal. Says the Beis Yosef, if you don't have it inside, it's okay. Let me just listen. If you have Iker V'Tafel, our Mishnah said you don't make a bracha Rishona on the pass. What would be in regards to bracha Achrona? Says the Kolbo, I'm not on the Sufa. Says the Beis Yosef, no, it includes it. What's the Tzadim of the Kolbo Safeg? Now, if you assume that the halacha of Iker V'Tafel, if you assume that the halacha of Iker V'Tafel is what? The Iker V'Tafel says that it's entirely batel to the Iker, so then there's no reason to say that there'd be any difference between bracha Rishon and bracha Achrona. The only way the Kolbo Safek could make sense is if we say that the bracha on the Iker automatically patter the Tafel. So maybe we only say that in regards to bracha Rishona. Who says that we're going to say that in regards to bracha Achrona? In other words, that we know the halachas of bracha Rishona and bracha Achrona are different. One's the right, the other the rabban. Sarach Iyun. He didn't say that I know for sure, but there's room for Iyun. But if you're going to say the mechanics of Iker V'Tafel is that it becomes batel, so if it becomes batel of bracha Rishona, presumably it's logical that it becomes bracha for bracha achrona as well. There's nothing in Hilchos bracha achrona that says to me that there would be a distinction in terms of whether it becomes batel or not. We've never found such a distinction that I'm aware of, that we would say, no, for bracha rishon it is batel, for bracha achrona it's not batel. It's not the distinction between davar sheyesh lo matirin v'amevin yavin and davar shein lo matirin. This is between bracha rishon and bracha achrona, whether to say it's batel or not. There's no reason to differentiate between the two. So the kolbo shaila only makes sense according to that side. Furthermore, the fascinating shaila in Ramosha. This everybody has photocopied. And then Be'ezer Hashem will get to the meat of what you guys are working on in Seder. Does anybody have Ramosha, either the tshuva or a photocopy or something? Thank you very much. Says Ramosha like this. By the way, this tshuva, Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt, was a tremendous Talmud of Ramosha. He's a Lamdin Otsum. So he wrote to Ramosha the following shan, Simen Mem Beis. He asks him, what happens if you have a Dover Meluach? You have a Dover Meluach, And the davar meluach is less than the kezayis. Maybe you don't have a tshuva. You don't have Ramesh's tshuva. So here you go. Do you mind if I borrow in both of you? Thank you. Says Ramesha, Hine b'davar achol meliach pachos mikazayis. He says you ate something that's less than a kezayis of a davar meluach. Upas achar zeh letafel kezayis. And he has a shayla. Afterwards, you ate a kezayis. Now, this is not discussed in the poskim. You add, let's say herring is a tafel, which is, we'll get to, but I like the herring example because I think it really, whether it's a good example or not, nevertheless, I think it's a good one to play with. If you have herring, that's the ikar, and the bread, that's the tafel. But the bread, you had a kezayis, and you didn't have a shear of the herring. Do you make a bracha achrona or not? So the bracha rishona, for sure it's davar pasha, you don't make a bracha rishona on the bread. But now I have a shayla on the bracha achrona. Now it's different than the kolbo's shayla, because the kolbo is talking about where you had both of them kishir. So this is where all the poskim, until Tav Shin Lamed Hey, whoever thinks that, you know, Torah is static, up until Tashin Lamed Hey, I'm not aware of anybody that discussed the Shaila. That means it's possible that Bezer Hashem, you become Gedole Talmid Acham, you'll discuss the Shaila that wasn't discussed. As far as I'm aware of, until Tashin Lamed Hey, this Shaila wasn't discussed. So they discuss what happens if you have something that's more than a shear of the Tafel and less than the shear on the Ikar. What do you make a Bracha Achrona? And Rav Moshe is mechaving to what later Rosh Yeshiva spelled out as a chakira, like Rav Nissen Kaplan does. And Rav Moshe just says it out, says out this chakira. And Rav Moshe makes a beautiful diuk from our Mishnah, and he comes to a fascinating conclusion. Says Rav Moshe like this. Trying to figure out where's the best place to pick up over here. He said, let's pick up from Avol, 12 lines from the bottom. Avol, kivan delo achal, kizayis mea ikar, since he didn't eat a kizayis of the ikar. Ve'ein tzarech mitzad ikar lebrocha achareha, and you don't need mitzad ikar brocha afterwards. Shenimtze shelo ye mitzad adin demevarech al ikar poter satfeilo shel brocha klal, ulai leka bichlal zeh. Me'achar shenemar ba'aklal loshon upoter es hatfela. Sheloshon zeh, this is a punchline, Rav Yosef. Why don't you see this loshon of Rav Moshe? Sheloshon zeh mashma digam al hatfela ikuchi of bracha, rak bibracha, rak sheniftar bibracha de birech ala ikar. Rav Moshe says that the loshon upoter indicates that there is a chiyuv of a bracha on the tafel, but the bracha on the ikar goes on the tafel as well. In other words, Ramesh is taking sides in this chakira. And Ramesh says that the pshat is that there is a chiyuv of bracha. However, the bracha by definition will pater. Now, Ramesha fits beautifully with the Chiddush of the Trumas Hadeshen. The only time we say that the Iker is going to fulfill the Tafel is if you have the Iker beforehand. But if you have the Tafel beforehand, it has its own Chiyu Bracha. It's not the Pshat that it becomes Batel. And Ramesha puts it back into the words of the Mishnah. Upoter. Now the Mishnah says Upoter as a pas. But the Rishonim say, Upoter es hatfela, it exempts it. But not, the pshat is not that the Iker makes the other one be tafel. Oh. So what's going to be lahalacha over here? So what's going to be a lahalach over here? Let's continue on. Says Ramesh like this. Four lines from Abam. Shalachain. Kivan shekolo ikar ein sarach levarich acharav mishum shu pachos mikashir. If the reason when it comes to this instance, the reason why you're not making a bracha achrona on the tafel is because pachos mikashir. Svar sarich levarich al hatafel sheachol mimenu kashir abracha shelo. Vikivan shu pas hu berchas hamazim. Umashik asaftal atzat shelo yivarech birchas mazon dalkopon yivarech bar nefashos rabbos who svar ba'alma d'shayech hatafa alkopon let's start flikur lashir. Now this stage of Ramesha is saying therefore what's going to be in regards to bracha achrona. So a bracha achrona, if we're not saying it's batel, so then in such a case, then of course you should say that it'll get a bracha achrona afterwards as well. Now, how Rav Moshe comes out, Lemaisa, I leave off for you guys to read. But this is, I just want to show you that Rav Moshe Mamish is taking sides on this issue. And if you assume, like the side that says that it's not included, so then what emerges is that it's not included in the bracha, then it could very well be that for bracha achrona, if you have a shiur of the tafel and you don't have a shiur of the ikur, then ain't a chanami. It will get its own bracha, and it's different than the kolbos case. Kolbos case where both are the shiur. But if you say the vart is that the tafel becomes batel to the ikur, so then it loses its own identity, and then in such a case it would not get a bracha achrona. Hence Rav Moshe says, I don't think it loses its own identity. I think the idea is that one bracha patters the other, but if it doesn't lose its own identity, then it's going to get its own bracha achrona. That's how Rav Moshe comes up until Linnea's Daiti Mistaber. Now, I'm a little bit confused by Rav Moshe's maskana. So I'm not going to tell you Rav Moshe's maskana because I myself am confused about Rav Moshe's maskana. So you work on it yourself. But in terms of, and Bli Nether, I owe you one. I have to get back to you because I have a responsibility to tell you the halacha as well. But right now, in terms of understanding our sugya, I think that this is a critical point. Rabosai, now I want to begin the crux of what we were working on in Seder. Let's take a look. Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a look at the Rambam's Hagdara of today's sugya. Ikar v'tafel. Who wants to read the Rambam? You want to read Aryeh? Go ahead. Perek Gimel in Ilchas Brachos, Halacha Dalid and Halacha He. Go ahead.
Flour, more than 5 meters, that was cooked in a pot, whether it was by itself or it was mixed with other things. You go from levivos,
levivos are a dough type of substance, like pancakes, something like pancakes.
The chen hadagan shachalko kashu vishlu v'kedera, or for example, the grain that was divided up. And this is all called Maisikadera. And also any dish that was mixed with it, something from the Mishlamidim, Bain Kemah or Bain Pas, whether it's flour or bread, but still the Varkla Brahim is on. So the thing you're gonna make it very is on.
By the way, I made a mistake, I didn't write Vav. I want Dalit through Vav and Zayin as well. Bamez Bar Mamurim, go ahead. Right, so Rambam over here says a halacha that we've already learned, and that's Kol Shiyeshbo. Continue.
So Bamez Bar Mamurim, Kishayah says, Amin, Chashuv, Esel, Volohaya, Tfela. So when this min was Chashuv to him, and it wasn't Tfatal. Aval, Lumaya, Echad, and Minim, Sheiri, Tfela. But if one of the Chamech Zamin that he mixed in was Tfatal, Inu Barich, Ela, Ala, Iker, Padres, Tfela. He only took on the Iker, and it Padres, Tfela. Is that called the brachas? Is it called when it comes to brachos? Kol shu iker hima tefillin marach al iker mendo tefila. Bein shahaisa tefillin no rebes in the iker. Bein shalai sam no rebes. So kol when it comes to brachos is that when you have iker and tefel, make brach on the iker. Whether the tefila was mixed in or with the iker, or whether it was not mixed in.
Good. Okay, continue on. Yes, clarification, go ahead.
Oh, what's the thing with the chashuv part in the beginning? By medvarim amurim?
By medvarim amurim, when do we say this halacha that kol sheyesh bo mechamishes minei dagon is if the dagon is going to be chashuv. But if it's a devek or something like that, then it's not considered.
Okay.
Kate's a halacha bob.
So now Kate's idea of fail amurim, so what's this case when the tefel was mixed in? Left is okrov shadishlu, ari bo kenach shalach of mishrabim. You have these vegetables that were cooked and mixed in with them was flour from one of the chamish laminim. Kedel dovko, in order to put it together, the flour is there just to, like, stick them together.
Good.
In a barik all of our mizonos, so left is what ikr vekanach zav tela. You're not going to make it mizonos because the vegetables are the ikr and the flour is the tela. Shekol dover shem arvin osu kedel dovik. Anything that is mixed in order to just like keep to glue it together, ok de nitin rea, or to give it a smell, ok de lutzo atash, or like to give it color, harizet tefillo, that's considered tefillo. Aval, im orif de litin tam betarobes, if it's there to give flavor in the mixture, harehu ikr, then it's called the ikr. Lepicha, mini dova shemavash lanosan venosan lahem bahen chalav chita kedel davik, you have some sort of like some honey, and you mix in with it milk and wheat in order for
so this is an important example. We're going to even do this in Halacha L'maisa today as well. And that is that the Rambam says that there are times that in a sweet food, they're going to add milk and flour just to give it some type of devet, okay, as a binder. But it's there to be sweet, okay?
In work all of Mizonos with Nesha Dvashua Iker. You're not leaving Mizonos because the Dvash is the Iker ingredient there.
Of course, you have to
back in. So now the other case, Kesa Tefela Sheinu Revis. Now, what's the case where you have Iker and Tafel and the Tafel isn't mixed in? Harish Tsar Klechol Dad Muliach Lachol Apasimo Kadeshlo Yazik Hamel Grono Bulashono. So you have to eat this Dag Muliach and eat bread with it in order that this melach, the salt, won't damage your throat and your tongue. Baruch al Meliach, you make a rabbin Meliach, whether it's a pas, and you pas, there's a pas. Mnesha pas feel low, because the pas is tough to it. But thing called Kayosi Bezet, and similar, anything of the like.
Okay. Now, Rabosai, these Rambams are very, very important. In terms of the direction of Shir, I very much believe in supply and demand. I want to know what the Talmidim did more of. How many Talmidim looked at the Aruch HaShulchan and the issues of Reish Dalet? Probably not many, correct? Not many. So I'm going to put that as a star on for tomorrow, and I'm going to focus on what I did put a star on, and that is, let's read this Rambam carefully in the context of the tour. Arye, how would you summarize what the Rambam just said in Halacha Vav and Zayin?
That when it comes to din of tefillah, when it's mixed in with a mixture, then it depends what it's there for. If it's there to give a taste, to give a smell, for davik ba'alma, or if it's there just to give color, then the tefel is it's a tefel. It's gonna be bazel to the ikr. The ikr is you're gonna be brach on the ikr. But if it's there, but in the case where it's separate, if the bread is just there because of the maliach, so the maliach doesn't harm you, and that's the case where it's going to be tefillah, where it's not mixed in together.
Good, it's not a bad summary. Rabosai, now let's take a look. There's more you could say. There's more that I was looking for you to say, but that's fine. You definitely passed. Now let's take a look at the tour. Let's read the tour carefully. Who wants to? We'll give Ari a break. Mordechai, do you want to read it? Go ahead. Kol shu ikar v'imo tefela. You'll see in a moment, Arye. I wanted you to emphasize something which, when I asked you to summarize in two sentences, you didn't. That doesn't mean you didn't notice it, but something important over here. Go ahead. Reishut beis aleph.
Kol shu ikar v'imo tefela. Mavrech al ikar v'poter tefela. Anytime that you have an ikar and a tefel, say the bracha on the ikar and you poter the tefela. Let me buy imai karmu ravi imatafel imafilu ela filu im kolachalavado. It doesn't matter whether it's a mixture, even if it's even if you're eating them separately, you have a case of ikar vitafel. Vafilu pachu chashuv mikol. Even though even in the case where you have bread being the tafel, it's the most important and it's a very important food. Imhu. Tafel. If it's tafel, kigon shachal dag maliach, like in a case where you had a salted fish, ve'ochel patimon, you're having bread with it. Shlo yizeken ubigurno, so this way it won't hurt your throat. Mevrecha dag vo pater tafat.
Rabosai, how many cases of ikar v'tafel does a tour give?
Two.
Very good. What are the two different cases of ikar v'tafel?
Merav or one another, or like separate.
Exactly. The tour gives us two different cases, and he says it doesn't make a difference of whether you have the ikar and the tafel that are mixed together versus an ikar and a tafel that you're eating separately.
Is it true?
Did the Rambam also have two cases of ikar and tafel? Where did the tour get this from? On a certain level, he got it from the Rambam himself. Why? All right, let's go back, Aryeh. The Rambam had how many cases of ikar v'tafel? He had the case of, the Rambam went out of his way to say that I have two cases. V'zeu klal brachos. Bein she, looking in halachay, bein she oisa tfeila mu'reves, bein she lo oisa ma'reves. Whether it's mu'reves or not, you have the rule of ikar v'tafel. And of course, the one exception is if you have chameshes mine dog, and then as long as it's chashu, even it's not the ikar. Rabosai, did anybody notice a potential difference between the Rambam and the Torah? Yes, David.
Mashma that he had something before that, and now he needs to eat the dagman.
Good. Okay. David points out shetzarich lechol dagmaliyach that. He wants to say that he needed to eat it beforehand.
He needed to eat the perot before.
Well, the Rambam doesn't talk about perot.
Right, that's what he says. Sorry.
That's what he says in the perot.
That he already ate something before, and now he needs to
Ah, very good. I thought you were saying something else. Very good. So David wants to point out that maybe the Rambam says shitzarif because he already ate perot ginosa beforehand. Good. Okay. What else? What else is interesting in terms of the... Are there any differences between the way the Rambam... There was an opening question that David was answering. I forgot exactly what exactly did I ask when you were responding to David? It was a very particular thing.
What did you just say?
Yeah.
What are the differences
between the Rambam and the Torah? I wasn't sure if I already emphasized the difference between the Rambam and the Torah. Why do you say, though, that David, that's different than the... Because the Torah didn't make, he just said, Kigon Shachal Dag Maliach. Very good. So I'm going to get to that in the Bach, right? That's an important point. Very good. Okay, but that's not what I want to focus on now, but you're right. So let's outline it, because David did a good job. He gave us a broader picture. Number one, the Rambam seems to say that you ate something before the Maliach and the Pas, and the Torah, there's no indication whatsoever. Says Kigon Shachal Dag Maliach. Excellent point. I didn't have intention to say that, but write that down. That's a very, very good point. Number two, what else is different? Yes, Eitan?
After the Rambam gave his two categories of tafel, he went into a whole thing of when it's a mixture, and the Torah didn't go into the whole thing of the mixture.
Very good. The Rambam puts together, when he discusses Davar HaMu'urav and what's not Mu'urav, he puts that together with the issue of Kemach, Kol She'esh Bo Mechamishas Minei Dagon, and he's bringing the... No, the Torah does speak about mixture, but the Rambam connects that discussion, and that, by the way, is the Aruch HaShulchan that I wanted to get involved with, but we're going to wait for tomorrow on that, because the Talmidim didn't spend too much time, and I didn't put enough emphasis on the Maariv Makomos. Good, so save that for tomorrow. That don't write in your notebook yet. What else? What else is interesting about the Rambam's presentation over here versus the Torah? This is a very subtle deal. I don't even know if you're going to agree with this deal, but it'll have big implications. Yes, Yosef?
In the Rambam, he doesn't write that, well, the bread that's coming with the fish, he doesn't write that it's chashuv. but beforehand, when he was a son of Kolosheish, where he describes it as Chashuv.
Good. As the Torah that's for tomorrow as well. Of okay. Torah, go ahead. So
the Torah says even if the bread is Chashuv, it's still going to be tuffel to the fish, to the duck. But the Rambam doesn't say in his case.
Where do you see that?
In the Torah?
Yeah.
Vafilu
Pashu Chashuv Mikol, Imu Tafel, and the Rambam didn't say that the pas was Chashuv.
Right. Beforehand, he said.
No. What does the Torah mean when he says Vafilu Pashu Chashuv Mikol? What does he mean by that?
More Chashuv than the fish.
Oi! Let's do a Pshat, Rabosai. I'm going to tear Yosef apart. It's okay, because. So many times I've said how amazing what Yosef says, so every once in a while I've got to bring him down to earth a little bit. So we're going to spend 3 minutes to destroy what you're saying, Yosef. It's an error in pshat. Rabosai, let's just read pshat in the tour. Let's just read, make sure we have pshat there. Koshu ikar v'imo tfeila, mevarech ala ikar poter satfeila. Lo mi boim ikar mu'uro v'ma tofel, fil kolachas levado. Skip for a moment. Imu tafel kagoshu dag maliach va'ochel pasimo. What's the Torah giving? He's giving us two cases, like the Talmidim said, of ikar v'tafel. One is where there's a taruvos, and one where there's no taruvos. Correct? That's what the Torah is doing. One case is with a taruvos, one case is where there is no taruvos. Why did the Torah add va'filu pasu chashem mikol? And I want you to answer me in pshat, Yosef. Who's usually very good at pshat, forgot about pshat. Why did the Torah add these words? Vafil pashu chashem mikol. Can anybody answer me in pshat? But don't give me a logical pshat. I want you to answer me in pshat in Gemara Rashi Tosis. Why did the Torah say vafilu pashu chashem mikol? Yes, Avraham.
It's the second time it's on the...
Exactly. There's a chidush in our halacha. And the chidush in our halacha is that pas is normally chashuv. And I might have thought that ikar v'tafel only applies to tznon and zayis, but doesn't apply to pas. That's what the Torah is bringing out. Nothing more than that. Good, Yosef?
Yep.
Okay. So Rabosai, what else is the difference between Rambam and Torah? What else is another difference between the two? Yes, Rav Elkana? Yes, Eitan?
Possibly that the Torah says, Lomi
baya
im
ha'ikar morav im ha'tafel, ela ha'pilus
in kolach
ha'levadav.
That's even more
chiddush,
and the Rambam just puts them on the same
plane. So the Torah says that the chiddush of ikar v'tafel, it's a greater chiddush when two of them are separate, and the Rambam just gave two examples. Good. Okay, I have nothing to say about that yet, but you're right, that's different than the Rambam. Yes, Mordechai Yaakov?
Could it be that the Rambam says that if it's mezonot, then ikar v'tafel would not always apply to it, and the Rambam and the Torah says it would apply. It doesn't matter whether it's chashuv. It matters whether it's ikar v'tafel. The Rambam takes something into account, but the Torah doesn't.
That gets with Eitan's first point, that he's connecting it back to the Chamesh Shmini Dagon, whether it's chashuv or not. No. Rabosai, what's the halacha if you eat fish and bread separately and not together? Do we have the rule of ikar v'tafel or not? Do we have the rule of ikar and tafel or not? So what does the Rambam say in Halacha Zayin? Ketzad hi tfeila she'emu reves, hareish that's tfeila she'ena mu reves. The Rambam learns that the case of meliach and pas was that it's a tfeila she'ena mu reves.
Like herring,
but right, it's not mixed up at all. But there's two ways to eat herring and crackers, right? You can eat them one on top of the other.
Even if it's called tarotas?
That's not about murevis. Seder. But even if you had a bite of herring and you had a bite of cracker, according to the Rambam, right? as long as you're doing it, right? That according to Rambam, that's a case of Einamu Revis. In the Tur doesn't put Maliach into one category. What does the Tur do? He says, Kol she ikar v'imot tfeilu, mevarach al ikar potas at tfeilu. Lo mi boyim al ikar mevurav. And even if it's not. And then he says, v'afilu pashu choshem ikol, imu tafel kigon shochel dag maliach. From the Tur, what we have is that the Tur doesn't differentiate between two categories when it comes to Dug and Pas, Maliach and Pas. And he just says Maliach and Pas by itself. While the Rambam clearly puts the case of Maliach and Pas in the category of Eino Meura. Now, what would the Rambam say if you ate the pas before you ate the maliach? The Rambam said, "Harei shetzarech lechol dag maliach v'achola pas imo." Do we know what the Rambam would say if you have the pas before you had the maliach? The case of the Trumas Hadeshen, if you had things out of order. Bechura, it's not clear. The Rambam told us a specific thing. He told us a specific case. That he's dog maliach, v'achol ha-pas imo. Maybe the Rambam would agree with the Trumas Hadeshen. Then in such a case, if you invert the order, then the bracha of what? You'll make a bracha on the tafel. What's the mashmos from the Tur? Is order going to make a difference according to the Tur? Kol shu ikar v'imo tfeila, mevarech al ikar upotar sa tfeila, lo mi boim ikar mu'urav im atafel afilum kolecha levado. Doesn't matter whether it's together or it's apart.
Pas can't be first. No, but even if
what's that?
Pas can't be first.
I'm asking.
No, because he's eating it to protect him from the saltiness.
Maybe you have it before.
But let's say he did it before. So Rabosai, I'm wondering, I see that clearly there's a fundamental difference between the Tur and the Rambam in terms of whether, number one, whether the Maliach and the Pas are considered fall only in the category of Eino Me'urav, that according to Rambam it's clear that it falls into the category of Eino Me'urav. According to the Tur, Lav Dafka, there's no Raya. Secondly, when the Tur says Lo Mi Boyi, the Tur is equating these two categories. It's equating the category of Iker V'Tafel with a Taruvas, with Iker V'Tafel without a Taruvas. Saying, Lo Mi Boy, the halachas are the same. And even a Kal V'Chomer says the Tur. If that's so, that the Tur is saying that it's a that they're the exact same thing, is it possible, and I'm not sure, this is the advantage of summers on. Summers man, I could schmooze with you a little bit more. A mesupak in the Lashon of the Tur. Once he's saying there's no difference between whether it's a taruvus or there is no taruvus, what's the whole point of when you have a taruvus of ikar v'tafel? It's one big mixture, and the tafel dominates. The ikar dominates, excuse me. The tafel becomes subsumed. If there's no difference between whether there's a taruvas and whether there's no taruvas, halachically, the ikur dominates, maybe that would mean even if you had the tafel first, according to the Torah. Because according to the Rambam, you can't infer one halacha from the other. The Rambam put them in two distinct categories. The Torah went out of the way to smush them together to make a lomi body. And that leaves an open question. Nistapakti. Whether the Torah is going to fit in with the Chiddush of the Trumas Hadeshen. According to the Rambam, the Trumas Hadeshen's approach makes a lot of sense. Because there, as David had explained, there it's clear you had the Peros Genosa first, then you had the Dover HaMeliach, and then you got the Pas afterwards. But once, and there, in such a case, where you have an Eino Misarev, then in such a case, then the Iker is going to get the Bracha and not the Tafel. But if you change the order, then all bets are gone. But according to the Torah, that puts it all together, that says the halacha is the ikur is koveya, and he says it as a lomi boi, that there's no difference between the two. So then there's room to say, wait a second. Nistapakti, I'm a supa. What would the Torah say about the Trumas Hadeshen's case? And then, of course, that gets back to our whole lamdus. What is the pshat of ikur v'tafel? According to the Rambam, it could very well be that one bracha is being motzi the other. That the bracha of the ikur is being motzi the tafel, but if you do the other way around, like Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said, then of course, then it's going to get a bracha on the tafel, like we hold in the Trumas Hadeshen. But what I wanted you to notice is make a good lamda shalaining and point out that the Rambam has these rigid categories. The Torah is not rigid at all. The Torah puts the two together. And that leaves me with this open suffix. So we gotta get back to this suffix. I also owe you psak, according to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, what's gonna be bottom line in terms of halacha l'maisa. Be'ezer Hashem, tomorrow we're going to continue. We're not done. Now I'd like to share, now we're careful that to go into mincha with halacha l'maisa. So I wanna pick up with our sugya that I skipped actually when we did Mishnah Berurah. So let's pick up in our Mishnah Berurah. We have 3 minutes. Let's pick up with Simon Reish Dalid Siv Yud Beis and just review some basic klalim of Ikra V'Tafel that we really didn't do at all because I wanted to wait till we did the sugya. Reish Dalid Yud Beis. Kol Shu Ikra V'Imo Tfela Mavarech Ala Ikra V'Polter Esat Tfela. The chol dover shema arvin osa ledavik, o kedei litein revach, o kedei litzko atashla reza tfeila. So Rabosai, let's talk about Twizzler's licorice. You tell me, what is the flour? There is flour in the ingredients, right?
Yeah.
So what is the flour added for?
Nothing.
Just to join together the different substances, the licorice itself, and the sugar and the artificial coloring and so on. If that's so then the bracha on licorice would be a shahako. L'fichach mine dvashim v'vashon osam v'nosna b'hem chelev chita k'dei l'dabek v'osam mehem mine mesika einu mevarech barim b'in rizonis m'vnei shah dvashu ikar. So you guys are tining that licorice falls into simin reish dalev siv yud beis. However,
how do we know?
However, I'm not sure. That's not my job. My job is to sit and figure out what the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah say. Someone else needs to tell me what the Metzius is. You call up the company. Of course, some of the Kashrus organizations do a good job investigating as well. However, I want to point out to you, Rabbi Osai, that in Simin Reish Yud Beis, the Mishnah Berurah, in our Simin, adds something that's important, that is not emphasized sometimes when people discuss putting in the flour into licorice. Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatan Aleph on page 250, though. Take a look on Reish Yud Beis Sif Aleph Vida. Debechameshas mine dagon kaimalon le'il besimin reish ches. The im ma'oravin im shar minim afilu he miut. Kol shenitein b'tavshil latam. As linam basrayu, this we already know, that if you put in dough in order to give tam, it gets a mizonos. Mipnei shemine doga nechshavim liikur tamid. Ach milvad im yesh bahem mamish. Aval im irev kemach b'mayim arbe kol kach ad shu rach kedei sheirui l'shtia mevarech shahakol. Here we have an addition in the Mishnah Brura. The Mishnah Brura says that if you put in dough and the dough is there for taste, which from Simin Reish Dalid, where were we? Reish Dalid, yes. We saw that if you put in for taste, then the halach is it gets a mizonos. But if you put it in that is b'mayim harbe, that is liquid, that's roi l'shtia, then it's going to get a shahakol. Oh, so this is important. Because if we only had the rules of Iker V'Tafel that we saw in today's Rambam, for example, we would have thought that Iker V'Tafel doesn't apply when it comes to Chameshes Mine Daga. And we would have said that any time you have Chameshes Mine Daga, that's always Chashuv, and it gets a Mizonos. The one exception is Ladavik. However, there's another exception. And that is that if you add Kemach, and it's liquidy, then in such a case it doesn't get the status of the Mizonos. Why? Because it's Roy L'Shtia. What's the Roy L'Shtia Svara? It's like the Tosis that we had over here. And the Svara that we had by beer, correct, and what Rav Shechter said as well. And that is, this halacha kol sheyeshbo doesn't apply if it's a drink. And this is what, how the Mishnah Brura passes. We'll continue on in Mirtz Hashem, in the Mishnah Brura part, before Mincha, on the halachas of Ikur V'Tafel.
The Rambam
is
a lesson of Imo.